Blog Talk Radio.
Kings in the morning, your favorite Blog Talk Radio show. Kings in the morning, your favorite Blog Talk Radio show. Kings in the morning, your favorite Blog Talk Radio show. Your favorite Blog Talk Radio show. Kings in the morning.
Some of the views and comments expressed on the J.K. Network contain mature content and may be deemed as offensive in nature. However, they may not reflect the same views held by the network itself. So please, use discretion when tuning in.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Jay King. Welcome to Kings in the Morning. With me and my co-host, Johnny Graham Cracker Davis.
What's up? Good morning, everyone. And I'd like to say happy birthday to my wife.
Robert Redwine.
Good morning, America. Hello, global internet world. Happy birthday, Marcia. Down goes the Lakers. Dallas Mavericks. Hand them kryptonite last night.
And ladies and gentlemen, coming to the microphone is an icon, a legend, and an award-winning radio show host who needs a freak.
Get your train whistle ready.
He's a pimp, player, and hustler when it comes to getting his smack.
Smackity smack.
Smackity wick.
He's a Mac Daddy, all Mac Daddies, and he's the Daddy Mac of all Daddy Macs.
Crisscrossing the house like a mouse on a Well, yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking about none other than our leader.
Come on.
Our general manager.
Tell it.
Uh-huh.
Our program director.
Like it is.
Our chief MF.
Bearded lady.
Our head honcho.
Uh-huh.
Our nigga.
Sambo.
Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Mr. Lynn Tolliver Sambo. Sambo Jr.
Sambo Davis Jr., y'all. Blow that whistle, Johnny. Oh, Lord. Okay, and you know, I wanted to say, today is Halloween, okay? And there are some people that are not having Halloween today because of the storm.
Yeah.
There is.
They're moving it to other days. And you know what I say? Just grab a box of Snag Nuts and call it a day. Remember Snag Nut? It was a creamy nougat, coconut-covered candy bar that nobody really liked. You never even heard of it, have you? I think that was in the 50s,
they stayed out a little bit, but then they lost.
It was. Zag Nut.
Well, I want to say happy birthday to Marcia, too.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday, Mrs.
Anybody
Davis.
That can deal with the cracker for that long? The
happy
Graham
day,
cracker.
Happy birthday, Mrs. Carker.
Any graham cracker that can stay with a graham cracker? Boy, that's a special kind of cracker.
I'm telling you.
That is a special kind of cracker. Fooling with the graham. Everybody know I'm about to call her ma'am. She's ma'am cracker. She's really nice. She's ma'am cracker. Got to say it twice.
Was that done to the lime and the coconut?
I don't know what it was done to. But... the Lakers proved last night.
What's that? They're not in sync and they're gonna gel towards midseason.
Not at all. Mike Brown got to go.
Yeah, he has to go, man. Terrible
Mike
coaching.
Brown,
job.
He should have never
no
came.
Adjustment.
He should have never came.
He should have never came.
Man, he doesn't have man, he don't give them that mental toughness, King J.
He don't know. No, not just that. That sucky offense. The
offense
Princeton. Is horrible.
Princeton.
It looked like Princeton, too. Very preppy and proper. I'll pass the ball to you. Would you like the ball, sir? Oh, no, I don't want the ball. I'll give it to you. Oh, thank you. How about you, sir? Would you like the ball? Oh, heavens to Murgatroyd.
He sounded like Snagglepuss. Heavens to Murgatroyd.
Hey,
today is Robert Redwine.
You,
here comes Bobby Boobelstag Day.
Why don't you take the ball? No, you take it. Why don't you take this? No, you take it. No, I insist that you take it. No, I insist you take it. How about defense?
Chip and
no,
Dale Cass.
I'm like, what the hell? What in the hell?
Is he going to get fired?
No, he needs to. So I text. Laker girl last night.
Yeah.
Hold on, let me go through our series of text messages because she. I'm going to tell you what happened. Let me find her. Where you at, Laker girl?
Man, and it was the Dallas Scrubs that beat them, King J.
No, she did that. Man, listen, they made that team look like a winning combination.
Hey, who likes the Lakers more, you or Stephanie?
Stephanie like them too much because she don't know how to disseminate truth from fiction.
Oh yeah, babe.
Who's gone now that Nash and Howard are there?
People that didn't count in the first place.
Bynum and Sessions.
People that didn't count in the first place.
Okay. Matt Barnes.
Let me see. I said Lakers really need a coach. I sent this at 9:22 watching the game. So Stephanie says, laugh out loud, badly. Then she says, hopefully Brown will improve throughout the season. I said, no, we have to get rid of him now.
Oh, no.
And then she said, it's not going to happen. We're stuck with him at least for this year. And then I said, we won't win with him as coach. I'm going to call the Lakers front office tomorrow morning. Do you have the number? So she said, laugh out loud. Maybe Jeannie can get Phil to give him some pointers. I'll get the number for you. I said, no one can help him. She said, Phil can help him. Phil will be the silent coach. And then she gave me the phone number. We're going to call them today. And then I said in capital letters, no one can help him. No one. And then she said, laugh out loud, Jesus can. And then she said, I'm going to do a lot of praying for him. She said, I can't stand Reggie Miller. He is a hater. No, Reggie Miller is keeping it 100.
Yeah.
Reggie Miller say?
I don't know, probably something like we look like busters on a stick. Busters on the stick. Why is the Lakers playing like...
And Steve Nash was playing like Chucky last night.
Well, listen, Steve Nash, in that offense, in that half-court offense, the way they run it...
That's not his style.
That's not his style of play.
No.
Why would you bring a guy who plays in a running open offense to your team to tell him, slow down. Slow down. I can feel it. Slow down. And why would you do that? And then Mike Brown just over there grimacing with his teeth.
Yeah,
I hate that look. Him look off your face. You know what he looked like? And you guys are gonna say he sure does when I say this.
Okay.
But he looks like Mr. Potato Head with all the trimmings on. You know how you got the Mr. Potato Head, and you can take the mustache on, take it off. With them damn, don't he look like Mr. Potato Head?
Hi, I'm Tom and Tom.
Mr. Potato Head.
Lynn, you remember Mr. Potato Head, don't you?
Sure, I do.
Yeah.
Yeah, those little pieces you stick into a potato to make a person.
He looked like Mr. Potato Head.
Mr. Potato Head.
And then when they lose, he's at the podium, he's smiling. I'm just a horrible coach, you know. I'm over here.
He's smiling because he pulled the wool over whoever hired him.
Yeah.
Yeah, he really did.
He's laughing at, you know, that's why he's laughing, because he got one over on him.
This is his last coaching stand. This is it for him. After this right here, bye-bye. Adios, amigos.
And what if they win and smash with him there?
They're not going to win nothing. They're not going to win nothing. Not with him in this offense. If the Lakers have any kind of good sense, and I'm hoping they do, this guy is out of here after game 12. Game 12, game 15, you assess It's still early in the season. You get rid of the guy. You know what this reminds me of? Remember Dale Harris?
Oh yeah, babe.
He was a Laker coach.
Yep.
Dale Harris had a guy named Kobe Bryant and Shaquille O'Neal on his team.
Yeah.
And Dale Harris could not win a game, let alone a championship. Just wasn't in the cards for him. He wasn't made to win like that. And then we got rid of Dale Harris, and we brought in this cat by the name of Phil Jackson.
Oh, yeah, baby, triangle offense.
And the rest is history. Mr. Potato Head, a.k.a. Mike Brown.
Oh, yeah, baby.
It's nothing more than a black Dale Harris.
Where's he from?
Last time I checked, damn Cleveland.
No, he's not. I don't think he's a Clevelander.
No,
he goes for Cleveland.
That's where he's from, as far as I'm concerned. Until I find out something different, because that's why I last saw his ass tearing up somebody else's team. If it ain't for him, LeBron James is still in Cleveland. Now I'm with LeBron. I apologize, LeBron, every time I called you LeBum. Now I get why you left. See, LeBron knew something that I didn't know. LeBron had been coached under Mike Brown, and LeBron said, "It ain't no way we're going to win with this nigga at the helm."
Nigga at the helm.
I got a nigga at the helm. His name is Joe. Everybody know that he got to go. He got a brother named Mike that I don't like. He pulling up the rear. He's in first gear. Now he's in L.A. Tan it up. Treating him like he just busted a nut.
Oh, no.
Y'all didn't know I was a rhymer.
We still don't.
Yeah, DJ, I heard your
watch
song.
Watch it, Johnny. You can't laugh.
Can't rhyme either.
Who can't rhyme?
Me.
He was rhyming.
Oh.
I said I can't rhyme.
Oh, you can't?
No.
I mean, crack have been a while, right, folks, a long time, rhyme.
Okay, could he bust a rhyme when he was, like, black?
No.
Oh, no.
See, that's why you resorted to violence and cat ass. You know, had
roar,
you put
Ryan,
in a few lyrics, you know, them cat asses would have been spared.
He did tear a hole in the cat's asses, didn't he?
Wow. What if a big, gigantic cat. Hey, you remember those little cats you put that M80 up their ass and tore it up? And then he grabs a big M80 and sticks it up your ass. Hey, did Marcia leave you with your ass all out?
Well, she left him with his ass all out like that. How you doing, Laker girl?
Good morning.
Hey,
good
Stephanie
morning,
Beard.
Girl.
Good morning, Stephanie Beard. Oh, yeah, babe.
This is Little Laker Girl.
Oh, Little Laker Girl. You guys,
Laker Girl.
Watch what you guys are talking about. You,
oh, yeah, baby.
Despicable men. Little Laker, what do you think about the game?
I didn't say nothing.
Now, I'm talking about what you guys were talking about. You said the A word. What you guys? What did you think about the Laker game last night?
Well, they should have done a little bit better.
Yeah, a little bit.
To get rid of Mr. Potato Head.
They need to get rid of Mr. Potato Head, don't they?
Yeah,
you need to talk to your mom. You know, she's Laker girl. She know what to do. We need a real strong
coach.
Yeah, my
mom's driving me to school, so she can't talk right now.
She can't talk right now?
No.
We'll let her know. Tell her that we expect her to get rid of Mike Brown. We expect her to lead the charge.
Okay.
Would you let her know right now so we can hear you tell her?
Yeah. Mom, they have to let you know that they have to get rid of Mom.
I know.
Now tell her we need her to lead the charge.
Uh-oh. Sorry, you guys. I'm driving and I don't have my headset in, so I don't want to get
the ticket. Well, we need you to lead the charge to getting rid of Mike Brown.
Lead Yeah, we do need to get rid of Mike Brown. I agree, and I hope we do. I hope they get rid of him. I hope
15 games. He can't coach more than 15 games.
Not even 15. I hope they're thinking about doing something in the next few games. It's ridiculous. I can't.
Now you
I can't.
Now, okay, so you, what, so evidently you prayed last night, and God said something to you this morning.
I did pray. I heavily prayed for him, and I hope something changes.
And what did
I
God say? Because your attitude is different. Last night you was like, he can be helped. Y'all can pray for him. I'm going to tell Jesus. Jesus must have said, hell no. It ain't nothing we can do about that. Get rid of this nigga while you can.
They're going to have to because Laker fans will torture this man if he doesn't get it right. So, you know, we got these great players. We have to do something with these players. And I know Kobe Bryant is, you know, he's going to have something to say about it, I'm sure.
Horrible offense. Why would they bring Steve Nash to play in this type of offense when they know he's more of an open court player? I don't understand why
either.
They would. What is this? And then I never heard of this Princeton office. Offense now. Excuse me. Could I go past you, please? Could I pass you, Paul? And you know what? Now they playing the Princeton offense. You know what? The Dallas Mavericks was playing, don't you?
Well, what were they playing?
The schoolyard offense. Nigga, we in a schoolyard. We ain't been in no damn prison. Get out the way.
Yeah, well, Dallas did play good, and they didn't even have Durkin and Whiskey on playing, so that's even worse. So we have to get ourselves together very soon. Are you going to call today?
Yeah, I'm calling. You know, I got to wait till 9 o'clock.
Yeah, I'm in a meeting at 9. Okay,
you're going to miss it. Jay Rouse said that last time I looked, Brown didn't have on no gym shoes last night. Okay, first of all, Jay Rouse, Dark Ski.
Okay, I'm going to go, Jay. You guys have a good show.
All right. So first of all, Mr. Rouse, Mr. Dark Skin, the coach is supposed to monitor the game and keep his troops in it. And that raggedy-ass offense, he's got a raggedy-ass offense that don't work. That damn Princeton, the Princeton, excuse me, could I have some crumpets, please? Crumpets in the middle of the game? Oh, that's right, we are playing a basketball game, aren't we? Yes, we are. Heavens to Murgatroyds. Excuse me, please. Sir, are you playing basketball? Yeah, Nick, I'm playing basketball. You see, I got Mavericks on my shirt. Excuse me, sir, you shouldn't use that kind of language. We're playing Princeton here. We're playing the Princeton offense and the Princeton defense.
Oh, my goodness.
Hey, he's not from Cleveland, thank God.
Where's he from?
He's from Columbus, Ohio.
See? Damn Columbus.
Be close.
I know.
For the Washington Wizards, he was assistant. For San Antonio Spurs, assistant. Indiana Pacers, assistant. So he should have, like, remained assistant. And then he became Cavaliers coach, and then now the Lakers.
Now he's going to be an assistant again.
How would the Lakers bring in a guy that's not a champion?
I'm going to be an assistant. I'm going to assist in getting his ass put up out of L.A.
Mitch Kupchak, please.
We're going to call him today. We're calling the L.A. front office. We're going to try to see if we can talk to somebody. Another person we're going to call today, you guys, we're going to call United Pool. The reason why we're calling them today, Lynn, is United Pool with the people who were doing my pool service up until August when they made my water look like it was dark skin.
That water had shit in it.
I'm telling you, they would clean my pool, and my pool would be dirtier when they cleaned it than when it was just sitting in my yard, just doing what it regularly do. And so I call them, and then they'll send somebody out, and they would do something. Then the water would clear up. What I found out was this, Lynn. My pump. They weren't cleaning. They never cleaned the pump like they said they did. They did. So
they skimmed by that.
So when this other company came in, you know, Superior, that's the name of the company.
Highfalutin. Yeah.
better.
It was. I got white people water. My water so white, and my water see. You could see through my water. My water so clear that when the water's sitting there, it just looked pretty just sitting there. Sometimes I just go walk by the pool, you know, by the living room.
I
know you can see right out to the pool, and I just walk by the pool, and I just be like, damn, that's some white water. That's some damn clear white folk water. I just got white folks in my pool, just there, just clear. I had all kind of porch monkeys in my water every time I went by. And it looked like if you were in a murky part of the sea. You know, like, oh, it's getting murky.
Murky.
It's part of the sea. But these fools sent, so I opened up my mail yesterday, and I have a thing that says, United Pool, please pay this amount, $320.
And that's it says from the previous, old people.
Yeah, previous balance, $240. November,
you know what
pool
you should have done, taken a picture when it looked shitty, and then... then typed over that money. Here's your money, nigga.
Well, so now look at this. I call them yesterday, right?
Okay.
But they don't pick up the phone.
They know it's you. They're like Donald Trump.
Yeah. So a service pick up. And I leave them a message and say, hey, you guys know y'all ain't clean my pool. Y'all wasn't cleaning the pool when you was cleaning the pool. Why the hell would I send you some money when I got a new service? I'm paying more money to them. Now, I pay more money to this new service.
Right.
But the guy, when he came and told me, he said, look, the reason why, you know, your pool keeps doing this is because they're not putting enough chemicals in the water and because there's something wrong with your pump. As a matter of fact, you're going to probably need another pump. And I'm like, what the hell are you talking about, another pump? I just spent $3,000 on this pump. When I had these other porch monkeys in the house, they didn't tow up this pump in a year and a half. Because, you know,
and
I didn't move back into my house until January. So you know, he didn't know nothing. He's just a cracker. He sent out the Como Sayama, who really do all the work.
Right.
And so the Como told me that the pump was fine, that it was in great shape, that the filter was in great shape. And he said, look, this is where they put a mark on my... on the meter thing that shows me where the pump should be at. If it goes higher than that, then it's, you know, it needs to be cleaned.
Right.
And so and they come out here, man, my water looks so good. My water looks so good. If you go to my pool area, you think I'm highfalutin. As a matter of fact, when I go out to the pool area, I think I'm highfalutin. All of a sudden, I walk around with a smoking jacket on. I got a cigar in my hand. I lay out by the pool for about 5 or 10 minutes, and then I walk back.
Are your legs out in some house shoes?
All that. You know, I dangle, though, you know, because my backyard is private. So sometimes I lay out there, and I just dangle.
Oh, yeah, babe.
So all you ladies want to look, get you a helicopter ride over Jay's place. You can see his pee-pee sticking out. Hey, check this out. Today is supposed to be Here Comes Bobby Boo Boo Stank Day.
Who? No, it's not.
Whose day is it?
This ain't Bobby Boo Boo Stank Day. Bobby Boo Boo Stank Day is February 12th or 13th.
13th.
No, you're supposed to interview him.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. This is Bobby Boo Boo Stank Day.
Yeah.
Oh,
I don't know what 62, me or you?
Right.
He can push it back to Thursday if he wants.
No.
Nah, hell no. We want to find out about your ass on
Wednesday. But you guys know, yesterday we found out about Lynn Tolliver. Lynn, you know, I didn't know until yesterday that you were a mailman during the time that you were a jock.
Yeah.
I thought you were a mailman first, and then you became a jock. It wasn't until yesterday that I found out. That was very cool. And I didn't know that you had only been at when you were at ZAK, when I did Rumors, you were at ZAK for 4 years.
Yeah.
And but the way people talked about you, I thought you had been at ZAK for 24 years.
Because this is what happened, and then we'll move on to Bobby. If ZAK went on a record, 50 stations around the country would go on it.
Yeah, I know.
Because I built that reputation from working at JMO in the AM.
Mm-hmm.
I could hear records. I could hear hits. And
well,
just to give you an example, Real Love by Mary J. Blige is because of me. Not that I made it, not that I had anything to do with it, but I exposed it. They hated me because they were trying to do something else.
Oh.
And you said this is the record right here.
This is the hit here. You know, y'all can't tell me what to play. Shit. Don't release it. Don't let me hear it. Don't let me hear it. Don't let me have it.
So, and then you'll go to the store and buy it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, so Robert.
Yes, King Gary.
Where were you born?
I was born on a Army base, Fort Lawton, Washington. My father was in the Air Force.
Okay. Robert, why are you breathing? I just started asking you questions. Why are you getting excited already?
And listen,
to
he's just
going to
ask you questions that require normal answers. No breathing is a prerequisite.
Not that hard breathing that you do, a little freaky deep breathing. These ain't no freaky deep
shit.
Questions.
Okay.
I don't understand you. Why you breathe like that? Can I ask the questions without you breathing like that?
Okay, keep going.
He was born by the river. That's what J. Rouse said.
Yeah.
Okay. So you were born. So you were born in Seattle? Where's Fort Lawton at? What part of Washington?
It's basically on the outskirts of Seattle on an old army base that's closed down now.
Okay. And were you the first child? Second child?
Yes, I was. King Ted.
How many brothers and sisters do you have?
Yeah, by my dad, his second marriage, I have a brother and a sister, and by my mother, I have two brothers under me.
Okay, so with your father, you were the only child with your mother and your father?
Yeah, for 14 years.
Okay, so you were only child. Wow, so you were only child for 14 years, and then you had two other brothers?
Yes, sir.
That says a lot about your mom. You know, they say when women have boys that they're not angry when they're having children, but when they have girls, it's because they're angry when they're having a child.
So,
how old are your brothers?
My brother Lee, he's 35. My brother Steven, he is 20. He's 30.
Okay.
On my dad's side, my brother Thomas, he is, I believe, 40. My sister, she's 42.
You sound like
Kelly
a damn bull, man, getting ready
Kelly,
to get off.
Kelly said Robert's breathing hard because he's thinking about Jay at the pool.
Oh, yeah, babe.
Oh, yeah, babe.
You better not be oh, yeah, baby, that. That'd be like, where Robert at? Well, he said he was by. Robert, stop. Please stop, Robert.
Not breathing
I'm trying
right
to
now,
ask,
King Jay.
Yeah, you
please.
Were, Robert. Robert, please.
You're
breathing so hard.
Cool.
Wait. Okay, so Robert, so you, how old were you when your mother and father divorced?
I was 5 years old, King Jay.
And did it have any kind of effect on you? Did?
It really did. I mean, I grew up kind of feeling, you know, I felt empty. My father was off doing civil rights. My mother. She had did some time in college, and then she started working at Boeing, and so
okay.
I always had this.
But she had done some time in prison, the way you said that.
No, my father spent some time in prison, but I will go into that later.
Okay, so now your mother. So now five. What do you think was the reason for the divorce? Was it because of the civil rights? Was it because your father spent Did you ever blame yourself for it or feel like you had something to do with it?
No, not at all. It's you know, in hindsight, as I see it, you know, my mom had a great heart, but she didn't. My mother was never raised with her father. My mother was born in Louisiana, Shreveport, Louisiana, with my uncle, and by my grandmother. And so my grandfather moved out to California to make it in the music business. He was a singer and a dancer, and so. He told my grandmother he would send for her. When he got out to California, he started drinking hemlock and chasing women.
Wow.
And he ended up burning up in a fire, King Jay. He was one of those, you know, kind of guys look like you with the nice hair and the real light skin and the greenish blue eyes, man.
What that got to do with him burning up in a fire?
Well, I mean, because he had that look that the ladies like, man.
And what that got to do with him burning up in a fire?
That was the hemlock's fault, man.
He's calling you a hot flamer, Jay, on an undertow.
No, I was saying that he was a singer and he had that look, you know. King J, man, in his heyday, man, he had it cracking, man. He had it going on because all those highfalutin superstar starlets were after King J. So I was saying my grandfather had that kind
of... And there's some dark-skinned niggas that got, you know, Barry White with his fat ass. They women chased his ass. He didn't have any blue eyes or hazel eyes or crazel zeezel eyes. He didn't.
You know what the problem is with Robert?
What's
it's
that?
It's hard to ask Robert questions because Robert always get off the subject.
No, I was just I was just giving you, you know, I was just...
Okay, so can we stay on the subject?
Yes,
right, so your grandfather came here at the sing to be a singer, and then he now did you ever see him? Did you ever meet your grandfather?
No, I didn't, King J. I never met him, but I you know I have pictures of him, but I never met him.
Mm-hmm. Now what? And now how did your mother and father meet?
My father was stationed at either Painfield and Everett. He was at both. I don't know if it was Painfield or McCord in Tacoma or Painfield in Everett. It was one of them because he went to both those bases. A group of guys were coming to Seattle, and my mother at the time lived in the projects, and so I think a group of the Air Force guys came through the projects, and one ended up going out with one of my female cousins, which is my mother's cousin, and a lot of their friends. So about seven of them actually met some of the ladies in the projects, and they ended up getting married. And one of the guys in the Air Force was Chris Bennett, who owns the AM radio station here, KRIZ.
Okay, and now, where was your father from?
My father was from Petersburg, Virginia, home of Blair Underwood, Moses Malone, just to name a few. And what's that new young hot singer today?
I don't know who you're talking about.
Trey Songz, he's from Petersburg as well.
Okay, and so you know Robert always gonna put that one degree of separation in there. So
that twist of fame. That
yeah.
Twist of Fame connection.
You know, you got the Hall of Fame. Robert got the Twist of Fame.
The Twist of Fame.
Oh, yeah,
Bobby's Twist of Fame.
Bobby's Twist of Fame. Okay. So your mom and dad, so you're 5 years old. Your mom and dad divorced. Do you go live with your father? Do you ever see him? You know, how did that play out for you?
Well, you know, I would spend a lot of time with my dad. My dad would come and get me, and he was just one of those kind of dads where he was like, my dad was brilliant. I would say he's a genius. He had inventions. He was a civil rights Black Panther guy. He was a no-nonsense dude. He gave me a look, man. I knew not to mess around because he didn't play. My dad was about 6'3", a tough Mickey Ficky, and that made me want to be a mama's boy because my dad was, man, he was scary. But at the same time, he would buy me like a microscope or a chemistry set for Christmas when everybody else was getting basketballs and all this other kind of stuff.
Okay. And then your father, you say he was a Black Panther. Now, how did he get connected with the Black Panther movement? Do you know?
I really don't know, but he also formed a, he also formed a group called the Immortals, which is a group that end up getting, you know, surveillance by the CIA FBI COINTEL program.
Okay, but your father was noted for his activities in the Black Panthers, and your father was killed, right?
Yeah, he was killed, and some people. Inside the government, outside the government, from grassroots to and within the system, said it was all a setup. So, you know, so that's a legend, and the jury's still out on that. But there's a book called Seattle Black or White. You can get it online. You can look it up, and my father's in it. And he played a prominent role in the race relations in Seattle in the 60s. And, you know, he used to talk to my great uncle, which is my mother's uncle, Sam Smith, was the first Black city councilman. So there was a lot of, it was turbulent times in the Northwest in those days.
And how old were you when your father was killed?
I was in ninth grade, King J.
You were in the ninth grade. So I know that had to have a profound effect on you.
Yeah, it did. That's when I had to get counseling, because my name is the same as him. I'm a junior like Lynn, and so people would be teasing me. So one day I just went off on the school, and you know people kept on teasing me, and I just turned over every table, because I was about 4'9" in my freshman year, about 80 something pounds, and so I just, you know, they were picking on me, and I just went crazy, and I just started throwing lunches and all kinds of, you know, just like those crazy kids that, you know, that you hear do the tragic things. But I didn't go that far. They, you know, but my mom had to come up and get me straight, boy.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and so where'd you go to junior high, elementary school at?
I went to three elementary schools. I went to kindergarten at this don't laugh, Lion, at a place called T.T. Minor, my kindergarten year. Then I went to
you know what for minor, T.T. Minor was for boys with little bitty T.T.s.
No, and then I went to
with
in second grade, I went to, first and
yeah!
second grade, I went to Harrison, and then third grade was the first year of busing in my third grade year. And I went to, I was bused out to a white school called Olympic View. And then that first year, from my age group in Seattle, I was bus student of the year.
Okay. You're a bus student of the year?
Yeah.
Now, what did that mean, being bus student of the year?
Well, you know, they had like a little exchange program where, you know, they take black kids from the inner cities, and they rated it on how you interact with, you know, with people and how your grades were. And you know how did you embrace, you know, like desegregation at that time? To, you know, because busing kind of desegregated Seattle public schools. Because back in, you know, in my elementary years, the blacks went to school primarily with each other, and the whites. It wasn't something that said that this is segregation, but it was kind of like you knew that, you know, you went to the black school, you went to white school. But I got bused out in my third grade year.
Okay. Now, Callie Wood said you got held back 2 years.
Never. I graduated on time, even though I was sickly growing up. I missed 2 or 3 months out of school with, you know, bad, my knees, my feet, I was just a sickly kid. I had to have my feet broke, because I was bow-legged and pigeon-toes, and so I had this bar that's like, you know, like, say, a special kid's bar, and I couldn't, you know, I couldn't really walk that good when I was.
Now, you see what I told you guys? When y'all think I just be joking, I be knowing stuff, Johnny. Remember that special bike that I saw in Japan?
Yep.
Now I be popping my collar, man, so I ain't tripping on that. God has really blessed me to overcome a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Robert. Okay, so then you. So then you. So how was elementary school for you? Is it good? You know, being bussed into. You know, schools like that, you know, is it foreign to you? Have you been just around black people and this is a foreign thing to you? You know, how do you make the transition?
Well, I had a little, my dad's second wife, believe it, the Black Panther had a white wife. So I kind of got a little indoctrinated into that culture, but it was the 60s, it was the hippie era, you know, Woodstock and that, so I saw a lot of bad, freaky things. And but going to school, what really helped me with the white kids is, you know, I really was into sports, so I got a chance to, you know, at lunch I would play tetherball, football, basketball, and I got cool with some of the white kids that they excelled later on in sports.
Okay.
So sports was something that I could relate to with them, because I would spend the night at the white kids' house and they would have their dinners and their conversations at the dinner table was different than black folks, man.
Way different.
Tell me how.
Well, I mean, they would be talking about, you know, when you go to college and when you get out, how you're going to invest your money and you know, with kids. I mean, kids 10 and 12 years old, they were having, I mean, deep conversations about, you know, finances, career, and if little Johnny was mad, then they would say, well, it's good to express yourself. You know, in a black family, they say, boy, you better shut up. You know what I'm saying? So it was a different culture. So I got a chance to see a diverse culture. Because, I mean, you mind me, my grandmother, my uncle, and my mother, they came from Louisiana, man, straight to the projects, man. And so I got exposed to these rich white kids at third grade.
Wow. Okay. And so now, when you go to high school, junior high school, what do you go to a segregated junior high school, an integrated junior high school?
Well, they started getting a little more integrated, but it was out in the white areas. Wilson, I went there in sixth grade. I made the eighth grade basketball team in sixth grade, and then in eighth grade, I went to Hamilton,
first,
which is out north.
You said you had bad feet, you had bad knees, you're 4'2". Now you're making the basketball team in the sixth grade for the eighth grade team?
This is true. There, matter of fact, in sixth grade at Wilson, in the seventh grader, who ended up going to my high school, which was a black high school, and I'll talk good net, get into that as you go along, was Patrick Allen. He was a cornerback for the Houston Oilers. Very, very talented athlete.
Spud Red Wine. Muggsy Red Wine.
But I kind of peaked out in my junior high school years in basketball, in terms of, you know, competing at a high level.
Oh, yeah, your talent level, you.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, and how was junior high school for you? Anything?
Junior high was pretty. It was pretty cool. It was up and down. I was, you know, I had to always. I had to always defend myself because, man, you know, starting in elementary, they picked on me a lot because I was smaller than the other kids and quiet, you know what I'm saying? And I used to, in my elementary years, I got bullied. So in my junior high years, I did little slight pranks.
What do you mean?
Well, I would just, you know, I might decide to be the class clown, man. Just
like
to get attention and kind of be a little brash a little bit, just to show that I wasn't a punk, as they would call it back in those days. But, you know, that's not politically correct today.
Okay, so you make it through junior high school, and so once you get into high school, anything significant happen?
Yeah, a lot of things. I mean, most importantly, now I'm bused back to the inner city, to the famed Garfield High School, the high school of Quincy Jones, Jimi Hendrix, and Bruce Lee, and a lot of other great greats. And this is a noted high school where my mother and my uncle went, and Jimi Hendrix was in my mother's brother's band. So I'm back with my black tradition, man. I'm in Garfield High School, man. So at Garfield High School, I tried out for the basketball team, and it showed me that my basketball playing had peaked down. So there were people cut from that team that could have made any other high school team in Seattle. And so I kind of learned that. So I was really trying to find my way in my niche. I got, you know, it was freshman day. They would put me on the basket. Now, here I am, 4'11", 80 pounds, and this big 6'3", 200-something pounders, man. I couldn't hang. And all the cool player guys at Garfield, the one that defended me, these guys that were the ladies, men, kind of little in the streets, but my mom would have a fit if she knew they were cool with me because she wanted to follow my father's plan because that in ninth grade, my dad died, so she would never want me to she wouldn't want me to follow my dad's plan and go to college and being a good boy.
Okay. So Bill said, Robert, were you then considered Steve Urkel?
Yeah, I was Steve Urkel in my freshman and sophomore year, but boy, my junior and senior year, I turned into Buddy Love.
All right, you guys. We're talking to Robert Brooks. We're talking to Robert Redwine. We're getting to know him. Anybody who wants to ask Robert a question, 347-205-9366, 347-205-9366. If you have a question in the chat room, all you have to do is type it now. Ask it for you. Marvin Gaye, You Should Love the Ball. Oh, baby, you sure love me. Gay, would you show love the ball from the Let's Get It On CD? That's one of that's 1973. That was right after the What's Going On, and it was both just huge records that really separated Marvin from everybody else.
Oh yeah.
Okay, so you know, yesterday we got to know Lynn Tolliver. Today. We get to know Robert Redwine. And so right now we're Robert Redwine. He's in high school. He was a conflicted little kid. I played the Marvin Gaye, You Sure Love the Ball, Robert, because you said you turned into Buddy Love. But tell me what happened. What do you think was the biggest thing that happened that transformed you from geek to freak?
Well, King Jay, after my freshman year, my father passed, and then I had to, I had some extensive counseling to overcome my father getting murdered in prison. So I would take trips with my family, my mother or my grandmother. I would spend one summer in Los Angeles. My mother's sister's son was Ricky Odom, and he was like most valuable player in L.A. High, and he ended up going to SC and playing pro football. So I got exposed to a different world. At his high school graduation, he had Billy Preston play there, and so I got a chance to meet a lot of successful kids. Then I would spend a summer in Louisiana with my grandmother, where she's from. Her brother was A.D. Smith. He was a professor at Grambling. He had his own insurance company. He was a city councilman, a deacon, and 30, Robinson. Coach Robinson was his best friend. So I would, Coach Robinson lived a block away from my aunt and
so
grandma.
So
I would go over there and talk to him about
greatness.
And
so
he would have all kinds of people visiting him down there. And then my junior year going into my senior year, I would spend it at in my dad's hometown, Petersburg, Virginia. So I got a chance to go over Moses Malone's house and these kinds of
things. But you living vicariously through everybody else.
Well, yeah, and then I had cousins that would come into town. My grandfather's side, on my mother's side, James Lofton and Reggie Theus, they would get me tickets, and Ricky Odom would get me tickets.
Okay, Robert, you are named. We're trying to find out about you. You're named.
Say, I got a chance to.
Even Callywood said, is this Robert's interview or his name dropping show?
No, I got inspired by their greatness and wanted to do something and be something.
Okay, but
that's what I'm trying to say.
I understand, but you gotta be able to stop. I mean, after a little while, you did enough people, and then you just stopped. Okay, yeah, boom, we get it. It's like you're like the proverbial dead horse.
You know, I remember when I first met George Washington. I was on the boat, and I was first cousins to the guy that held the lantern. And, you know, what happened was George Washington saw me in the back of the boat and said, "Hey, little nigger boy, I'm going over Abraham Lincoln's house. You want to go over there?" And I said, yassa, I do. Give me some tickets to the Congressional Congress of the Biblioteque." And he got me some tickets, and I was able to meet John Adams and Quincy, all of them. They adopted me as their little nigger slave.
Well, you got the devil in your butt line, but for a geek like me, that was a
big... But it ain't like you, but it ain't about you. We want to know about
you.
What
about you? Yeah, you tell us.
Well, I'm shaping what inspired me. That's what
hey,
I'm talking about.
But Robert,
you, Rob,
Robert.
You know, right
Robert,
in the middle
you...
of this, have you ever shot M80s up a cat or dog's ass?
No way, Jose.
Cool.
But getting back to it, so...
Okay, Robert, no, stop.
Tell us about you.
I'm getting ready to get to me in high school.
Okay, so in high school, Robert.
So my my sophomore year, I started, I wrote for the school paper my sophomore, junior, and senior year, and I did feature articles on the best athlete, the smartest person, the best dress, and I started getting a little popular. I worked in my junior year, I started working at a men's clothing shop all the way through college. And I sold, you know, part-time, and in the summer, full-time, I sold men's clothes. And in my senior year, I started, my junior year going into my senior year, we started a group called Aramis, which later became Exposure, and we kind of did a lot of the Jackson 5 songs. And our first talent show, all the guys came in there, I sold them clothes, and I bought my own clothes which were our outfits for the show. It was snowing. We caught a bus. Our first talent show was a Jackson 5 song. 15 seconds into the song, the girls rushed the stage, and I've been addicted since.
So now you get out of high school.
I played football my senior year. I made it after they said I would never play football.
So what position did you play?
I was wide receiver.
Come on, Robert, you're 2 feet tall. How are you the wide receiver?
I put 715 pounds, and I was a last announcement, which culminated my exciting career in high school. They said, "And the red streak from Nebraska, Jarvis Redwine, you have made the varsity." And everybody came and hugged me. It was like a Rudy story, man. You seen Rudy with Notre Dame?
Jarvis.
So did you play? Did you get to play, or did you just get to be on the
line? I'm not gonna lie. Just making the team was great for me. I got a chance to get in a few games, but I never was a starter or anything. But we had a tough football team. Just to make the team was special to me at that time. So I peaked out by making the team.
Okay, cool.
Okay, Sean Astin's story was named Rudy. Robert Redwine's story was named Booty.
Oh yeah, babe. So about my senior year, from singing in a group, playing football, writing for the school paper, I became really popular throughout all the Seattle high schools. So I went from being ignored to just being a super popular guy.
Callywood said, "Now he's Rudy. Did he get carried off the field?"
Callywood, we can go without your commentary. This is my day, not yours. But anyway. And so so you know, my you know, about time my senior year, we had a class action suit with the Seattle prison system for malpractice for sewing my dad up and letting him bleed internally. So me and my two other siblings got awarded a lot of money at the time, the most in Washington State history.
How much was that?
At that time, it wasn't much because the attorney took a lot. It might have been. My take was about $50,000 and maybe $300 or $400 a month, which my mom made sure it went straight to the bank. And so I was able to get a used car during high school, and then I was able to go to the University of Washington from that.
And how long did you go to the University of Washington?
I went 3 years, King J.
And why did you drop out?
Because I just wasn't really engaged. I mean, it was like going from a high school where there's 30 in your class to an astronomy class where there's 1,500 people in the first day of the class. The professor is saying the parallax times the diameter of pi times pi r squared plus the black hole equals what? That's the first lecture with 1,500 people in one class. And it was just a culture shock. I didn't know I had ADD, but I was just distracted. I would see a pretty girl, my mind wouldn't even be into it. And it was just really distracting, and I just wasn't really ready. And I always had this entertainment bug in me, man.
So tell me, when did you start saying, hey, maybe entertainment is the life for me?
It was always in my head, but about my junior year, I did a quarter at Seattle Central Community College, and I went there and I took a music theory class, a vocal class, and I played on their basketball team, and I just said, well, this is not for me, this college thing. I mean, I know my dad wanted me to finish, my mother wanted me to finish, but I love this entertainment bug. My mom sung, my uncle played in bands, and my grandfather was in music. So it just, the music thing was always in my spirit. And so I just quit, and we started gigging around Seattle and Canada. And we did some recordings in L.A. We got a manager. We would open up for a lot of the major acts that came through Seattle. And I got a chance to meet and just pick brains of greats that would come into the city. As we were a young upstart group that opened up for a lot of major groups.
Aaron McAllister said, when did Robert make his first J. King voodoo doll?
Well, I mean, I DJed as well, and I played drums in the church, but I made my first J. King voodoo doll when I picked up one of these industry magazines, and I heard about this hotshot Aquarius who was not tall, but he could manage, he could produce, he could perform. And
that's what it said,
he,
Hotshot Aquarius?
Well, yeah, because that's, they were talking
about
Jay
King
being
an Aquarius.
And he
was
an
Aquarius, and you figured he was a hotshot.
What they had in common, and this guy in Northern California was just making a major name for himself and just making a name for himself. And I said, wow, those interests sound like me. So there was a music conference.
Wow.
Yeah. And so there was a music conference going on in L.A. And the girl I was dating, my longtime girlfriend at the time, her cousins were signed to Warner Brothers Royalty. And so me and her sister, I got this wild idea, man. I'm not going to just make it in entertainment by staying here in Seattle, open up for groups and stuff. I need, and going to L.A. back and forth recording, I have to go down to these conferences, man, and kind of network and get some information. Well, the first guy, before I go to L.A., because Sacramento to L.A. is a good distance, man. Even from, and Seattle is even greater. So I went, and sometimes God leads me. And the spirit found his office. I didn't look up in the phone book for an address or anything. I got off at the Sacramento exit, and I just drove all around Sacramento until I felt where our office would be.
Oh, my God.
David, that's bullshit. I think that's like hocus-pocus malarkey bullshit.
I swear to God, this is true. There's people that tell you that sometimes I can do that. And I kept on driving around, and then I found this kind of like
warehouse. Three other times that you've done that you just drove around and found a place. You know, like a Ouija board map.
I swear on my dad's grave, this is a true story. And so
Give me three other instances.
I was timid about finding Jay before I drive off to L.A. And so I pull up to this little complex. There was a limo outside, and there was a bunch of black folks that, you know, seemed kind of entertainers. And it was some of the groups that were on Jay's label, primarily Club Nouveau. And so I asked these guys, you know, is this where Club Nouveau is? And they said, yeah, why? And I said, well, I was looking for Jay King. And I think somebody said, well, he's not here. Somebody was just, they were trying to buffer him from me getting to him. And then someone just said, well, let me go in the office and see.
They probably
do
the same thing that boy did to Ronald Reagan that day.
And so.
Hey, was your heart pounding, you know?
Yeah.
And your stomach a flutter like a butterfly?
Yes, because I felt like everybody that's in the music business, this is the closest guy that I could, that had my similar interests, you know, by being an entrepreneur, a business person, an entertainer, a manager, a producer.
Okay, Robert, we're talking about you.
Well, I'm talking about my mindset, my thought process, so it is me. And so eventually someone goes in the office, and so they said, well, Jake, Mr. King, we'll see you. So I was excited, man. So I had my little demo tape.
Did you come in your pants?
Oh, no. And so then I go into the office with my TV. I'm kind of shaking a little bit because I'm like.
Were you shaking? Were you nervous?
And
did you put your lipstick on before you went in?
Oh, yeah, babe. I told my girlfriend let's exchange clothes. No, I didn't, man. So I didn't. Then I went in the office and I put in the demo. The first song that played, Jay said, I like this. This is good. But the other stuff, he said, I'm not feeling. Because Jay was real. You know, he's like he is now. He'll tell you if you like something or you don't. But the first one he liked, he just said if you keep, you know, make more like this, it's consistent. But he said, you know what? I'm really impressed with you, man. You came all the way down to Seattle. You remind me of me going places to try to make it. And he said, you know, he liked that boldness in me. So he said, I'm going to be in L.A. for the music conference. So I'm going to be flying out to L.A. tomorrow. So I will meet you. Here's some numbers to call. The first number he gave me was Bobby Sanders, who was Elder Barge's, who used to be Elder Barge's wife, and who's originally from Seattle, which was one of Jay's girlfriends,
right,
at the time. And maybe you guys can hook up and do something. Well, I used to go, you know, I kind of lightweight dated her sister, Audrey, who was a model up for Nordstrom's in Seattle. And so so I get there, and, you know, it's kind of hard to reach Jay for a minute. And then I call Bobby, and she comes over to where I was staying. It was Toluca Hills. That, I think Warner Brothers put up the groups. It was my girlfriend's family's group, Royalty, that was on Warner Brothers, which was where Jay was on Warner Brothers. So it was just ironic, and which the mother kind of messed up.
Hey, Robert, we got to take a break because everybody is tired.
Okay.
And in the chat room. Robert got a big old face. All right, sing it with me.
Robert got a big old face. Robert got a big old face.
Robert got a big old face.
Robert got a big old face. Robert got a big old face.
Robert got a big old face. Look at the size.
Robert got a big old face.
Come on.
Robert got a big old face.
Robert got a big old face.
Robert got a big old face.
I see how Lynn, and then Lynn told his story. It was so good. It was captivating. You're like, you start beating people over the head with words. You start getting a little doctorish on us.
Well, King J, sometimes I'll commit something, and I say, oh man, I forgot to say this part of it. So I you know, the continuity of the story sometimes then I get thrown off, man. It's ADD, man.
Okay. All right. So now you start doing music. So what's the first record you get on?
The first record I get on is, it was a Kid Sensation record. It was a Kid Sensation in 1993. I got on a Kid Sensation. He was on Nasty Mix Records, the home of Mixer Mixala.
Okay. And then how did the record do?
It didn't do well at all.
Right. When did you get your big break on a nationally known artist?
1994, E-40, Smoke and Drink, in a major way, which the record certified the album certified platinum at, eventually, but it within the first year it went gold, and he debuted at number 2 on Billboard. And the song that I was involved in producing was what's the Source magazine rated that the number 1 song on the album.
The song that you did?
Yes.
And on the E-40 record?
Yes, sir.
That wasn't but it wasn't a single.
It was never a single.
But the Source rated it as number 1.
Yes, yes, they did.
But radio never rated it as number 1.
Radio never rated it number 1.
Now, how many albums did you end up having a song on with E-40?
Well, there were probably about 3, but through his production company, Sick With It Records, probably about 10 to 12, because he had the Funk Mob, he had Lavitty, he had Be Legit, he had Sugar T, D-Shot, Selly Cell. Did I say Selly Cell?
That's enough. See,
okay.
They had a lot of records. Now, what do you think was the highlight of your career, and what was the low light of your career?
The highlight of my career is being able to work on an eclectic mix of artists with Be Legit and Daryl Hall, and then writing lyrics for a song in the movie Replacement Killer with a couple of the guys from Pearl Jam.
Okay. And what's the low light of your career?
The low light of my career is when I stopped. I made a conscientious effort to try to develop Seattle artists, and I focused on Wine Time Productions as a production company, and expanding into 2 studios and putting out a record through an independent in 1999, who was a friend that went to college that was from L.A., Dimitri Cameron, Epicurean Records. And we had a song that went number 15 on Billboard, a single, and it was moving up, and he died in the middle of the process. And there was labels that wanted to pick up the label and the various artists that were signed to my production company that were out of Seattle, because my goal was now to develop my city. And he died in the middle of the process, and that really took a lot of wind out of us, because there was a lot of hours spending on developing a lot of artists, as you know, King J. That's a tedious process to have 3 or 4 acts signed to you and making sure all their albums are completed in a timely fashion with different creative differences.
Okay. And if there was anything that you wanted people to know or get to know about you, what would it be?
That my first inclination is to love and help and never give up. And it's all about the 3 F's: faith, focus, and follow through. God has blessed me with great faith.
So now you got to work on your focus and your follow through.
Well, I mean, it's a major adjustment, King J. In the
I just said now you
got to
work on your
really,
focus and follow through.
Right. And I've got a lot of good advice. I mean, Jay, you've been the guy that I can call on at any time, morning or night, and just get some information. I've got a chance to have meetings with various people, because I was really feeling discouraged after the death. Then I had another death that my production manager, Sam Stevens, he passed away later. So I just kind of went through a depression, man. I didn't pay my taxes. I had a bad account. I ended up on the RS. I had a breakup. I had to take care of my brother. I had to help my mother because my stepfather and her separated. And I just went through a major, major depression. And my team was falling apart. People were dying. And I had the worst depression. This is the first time I ever thought about just jumping out the window and killing myself. I had those thoughts, but I would never go through with it because I was like, man, this is hard. You know, I made a conscientious effort to stop, you know, taking outside work to focus on developing my city, and here are all these deaths and financial trouble. Then I'm losing one studio at a time. It just got overwhelming, man, and you know, and so, but God was showing me something, and I just decided to just give up. I just was paralyzed with despair, and I never felt like that in my life. I mean, I've always been an overcomer, but it seemed like I couldn't overcome this, and so God, you know, blessed me after a few years of just doing nothing, you know, to teaching school for 3 years. And trying to help at-risk youth have faith and skills, and from music production to management to music theory to you know, just helping at-risk youth gain
and
they cut the budget.
Okay, Robert,
you know, that was
Robert,
another
Robert,
depression.
Robert,
you know,
Robert, you gotta, it's an interview, so you gotta let it move. You stay in the thing too long.
Okay.
All right.
I'm with you, Jay.
All right, so if anybody else wants to want to ask Robert a question, want to make a statement, 347-205-9366, 347-205-9366. If anybody in the chat room wants to say something, Nicole said, wow, Robert needs an intervention. Eric McAllister said, did Robert ever dress up as J. King and perform a J. King review in Seattle at the Motel 2?
Oh, yeah, babe. But, you know, one day I got some cowboy boots. Like, you know, Jay used to wear some sharp boots, man. I took my jeans to the cleaners and got them starched and ironed like King J. and wore one of them cool shirts. Jay, remember you came into Seattle and you said, man, if you want to be a rock star, this is what you get. Remember we went in there and I ended up buying a shirt that you told me to get that would look cool?
I don't remember, but if you said I did it, I'd know I did it because I don't remember half of what I did yesterday. So let me say this right here. Six eyes. It's five eyes now. He did get an eye back. He got an eye back because of his good Samaritan work he did yesterday.
What did he do?
He found out about Nika and made sure that she was okay.
Good.
That's good.
And because of that, he got an eye back. But he's still
wonderful.
Good job.
He's still only five eyes. He's still five eyes.
Yeah, good job.
And so, you know, he slowly but surely he's gonna get them eyes back.
Five eyes, Ike Turner.
Well, and I told him that, you know, I mean, you know, I said, you got to stay away from the doc if you want all your eyes back. And he said, Doc who? So,
you play
he's already on the he's
the
already on the word
song, all
he's
eyes
on me.
On
the road to recovery. He's already a good morning, Keisha. So Keisha,
hey, Keisha.
Finally got here at 9:12.
Hey, good morning, Queen Bonner.
But
King Jay, you know, there's some things that I skipped over.
That's okay, Robert, because it's, Robert, we did, you know, it's not the, you did good. You know, that's why I give you every opportunity to, you know, to make it interesting and to keep it going. But when people in the chat room start saying hell to the gnaw, they're going to sleep. You know, this is getting, I mean, because you don't know how to stop. And I'm trying to talk to you, and I'm saying, I'm calling your name, but you keep talking, so I just shut up and let you keep going because, you know, you just like the ever ready.
Okay.
Keep going and going. Rich, you have to listen tonight to find out how six went from six to one to two to four and now five eyes. All right, you guys. So it's 9:14, Lynn. I'm going to call United Pool Services, okay? Now, I'm going to give you guys a little backstory. United Pools was the company that used to clean my pool for me, okay? They did the maintenance of my pool every week.
You want to call them on the air so we can hear it?
Yes.
And then don't forget to call the Lakers office.
We're going to call the Lakers office. Oh, Gab is here. Hey, Gab, I'm glad you're here, baby.
Hey, Georgia Brown.
Okay. Hold on.
Hey, wow, Jay's away quickly, Rob. Are you upset that he's been slicing you down? He's giving you a cool edit? program.
Well, I mean, there was a lot of things I wanted to see about, you know, being relevant and doing, having more than just one job in entertainment business.
All right, hold it.
Okay.
He's still Gavin.
Full service.
Yes, my name is Jay King.
Okay.
Yeah, you guys used to clean my pool, but you guys continue to send me a bill as though you can that like you're still cleaning my pool, but you're not. So I got a bill here for $320 that says previous balance $240. You haven't cleaned my pool since August, and when you cleaned it in August, I fired you because it wasn't clean. So why am I getting a bill?
Okay, I just saw a work order. Give me 1 second. Let me see if you're still in the billing system because
yeah,
I don't do the billing.
How you doing? That's okay. How you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I don't want nobody trying to take me to collections over a service I'm not getting.
Yeah,
you know,
of course.
Yeah.
1 second.
Mm-hmm. Y'all made my pool look like black people water. It was just.
I got you.
It was just.
Yeah,
you know. You know what you guys did? It was horrible. They never, my water was always murky. And then I found out that the reason why it was murky is because the guy never cleaned out the filter. I get a new service. The first thing they do is clean out the filter. Now my water is clear as can be. Look like I got sparklets in my water.
Really?
Yeah. Just all they have to do is clean out the filter.
And they haven't been coming out, right, from our
company? No way. No way,
okay.
Jose.
Yeah,
I got a new
service. Billing.
Yeah, so could you guys take me off?
Yeah, I did. You were not out actually, so I just did.
Okay, thank
you
so much. Could you make sure I don't owe that money anymore?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
It's zero.
All right, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Okay. I wish I could just do that. Anybody else got a bill?
Wouldn't it be fantastic if that would be the way to solve all your bill problems?
Hey, look, I had a bill here. I don't have it anymore. You guys need to wipe it out.
Let's call the cell
phone. Okay, sir. It'll be done.
Nicole said, call my university. if it was that easy. Let me see, dude. You guys ready to call the Lakers?
Hey,
oh,
you must have seen the title. If it were only that easy. I sent that to you and you send it.
No,
yeah.
I didn't see that.
Yeah,
wow.
if it was only that easy, it's a little short movie.
Hold on, let's okay. So we're gonna call the Lakers now. The reason why we're calling the Lakers, guys, is because we don't want Mike Brown to be the coach, and we're gonna figure out the other way we can get Mike Brown from being the coach.
He's from Columbus now.
And now Jay Rob said, "Hear what y'all not catching? He got that girl to admit on the air that the balance is zero." Exactly.
Of course.
Did you say that again?
His Halloween trick or treat.
Please.
Can you say evidence? That's what dark skin said. Hold on.
How did that play?
What's that?
I just heard please.
That was Michael.
Oh yeah, babe.
That was Robert Robert or Michael. Hold on 1 second. Let's do
Let's do Marsha, Bobarsha. I'm just joking.
As we call, I feel good. CeeLo said cool last night on national TV. The
Corridor cool. Express. All aboard.
Cool.
Oh, yeah, babe.
And CeeLo sounded just like that, too.
Cool. Does that sound apply to everything? Like, you know, I'm going to high school.
No, it don't work that way.
I'm going swimming in the pool.
Hey,
did you see that baby draw?
Yeah, hand me that tool.
Kings of the morning, we're all balls.
I got to get to Spokane, man.
Please stay on the line.
Hold
Thank
on.
You.
Hold on, you guys. We're going to speak to the Laker operator in just a minute.
LA Lakers.
Hi, my name is Jay King. I'm with a show called Kings in the Morning. We're a morning show.
Okay.
And I'm sorry?
Okay.
And I was wondering if I could speak to somebody. We want to get rid of Mike Brown, and we want to know who we can talk to about seeing if that can happen immediately, because we want to have a winning season this year, and we just don't think he's going to make that happen.
Let me connect you to Laker PR.
Thank you. They're going to connect us with Lakers PR. That was, she was very low, you guys. She seemed very nice. She didn't. I don't think she's getting making a lot of money. I don't think
Lakers
she likes
PR.
Hey, how am I, who am I speaking with?
Matt?
Mm-hmm. Hey, Matt, my name is Jay King. I'm with a show called Kings in the Morning.
Okay.
And we're a morning show. We're on live right now. And, you know, I'm a super-duper big Laker fan, okay? I want to be a champion. I think we have the team to win a championship. I don't think we had a coach to win a championship. Can we make a deal with the Laker organization that if Mike Brown doesn't do well by game 12, that we can get rid of him and get a new coach?
Hang on one second.
Thank you. I'm going to get to it somehow, you guys. We're going to find somebody. We're going to get to somebody that can give us the answer we need. I think because they keep putting us through to different people that there's a possibility that we can get that. I think this is heading in the right direction, Lynn. What do you think? Lynn?
I don't know. It looks
kind of...
What I can
do is leave a message for our PR director. His name is John Black, to give you a call.
John Black, will he be in before 10 o'clock? Do you know?
I couldn't tell you that.
Okay, because we're on the air till 10, but you can call our office so we can schedule an interview with him so he can talk to us about
What's the number?
What's the number, Lynn?
The number is 213-403-1668.
Okay, and what's the station?
It's called Kings in the Morning. It's
Kings
the
in the Morning
Network.
On the J King Network. Yes.
.com. Yeah, you can. You guys, we have listeners
okay,
from all over the country.
For?
Ask
who
for J King
for?
Or Lynn Tolliver.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. And we want to get rid of Mike so we can win. Yeah, let's do that, guys. Okay, I think that was good, Lynn. I think we headed in the right direction.
I think you just give us a pacifier. That was a pacifier.
No, Lynn, I'm going to look at that like a positive sign that the Lakers are saying, you know, and let me tell everybody who wants to see the Lakers win this year. If you're a Laker fan, call 310-426-6000. 310-426-6000, and let's get rid of Mike Brown. Let's have a get rid of Mike Brown campaign. Because if you guys want to see a championship happen in L.A., it won't be under Mike Brown's watch. Mike Brown, and I think what we should do, and I don't want Mike Brown to be unemployed, Lynn. I think we should make Mike Brown the new and improved Mr. Potato Head model.
Which, you know, you're bringing it back. It's like a lot of things
yeah.
come back. Short skirts
yeah, bring,
and
and
bell
we can
bottoms.
Call him Mikey Potato Head.
Or Potato Mike.
Potato Mike. Potato Mike. See what happens here on this show, Lynn? You know, people can get mad all they want. We are a very progressive show.
And then we could put Velcro on his body where you can stick like a nose where, you know, and just patch it. It's the new Velcro patch Potato Mike head.
Yeah, and you know, and then you say, you know, and then you pull the string, and then he says, run that Princeton offense, run that Princeton offense. and then you can have little potatoes, and they'll go, excuse me, please, would you pass the ball, please? No, I don't want the ball. You keep the ball. No, you keep the ball. You shoot it. No, you shoot it. Let's play defense. No, let's not do that. That's very mean. Let them shoot the ball. No, I don't want to. Let them shoot. Go ahead. Go shoot, my friend. Go ahead. This is the Princeton defense and the Princeton offense. Oh, we would like some tea and crumpets.
Hey, how did he get the job, man?
I think he knew someone that knew someone that knew someone that got it.
You know what? No, I think the Lakers, you know, I think Mike said that him and LeBron was really good friends, and LeBron probably wrote him a recommendation letter, that,
yeah.
you know, from a long time ago, and he changed the date on it.
Got that white out, huh?
He was lying that day. That wasn't no season. That was a lying. He's lying that day. I just want you guys to know while I'm sitting here doing this show right now, do you guys know what I'm doing?
You're cleaning your toes.
Okay, that's
sending
one.
Sending out more CDs.
Sitting on the toilet.
Robert Redwine is very good.
Because that's attached to the booty. Sitting on the toilet is a booty attachment.
He knows.
Oh, yeah,
booty gear.
Let
he
me
would
tell you guys something.
I got spiritual insight.
No, Robert, because you're nasty, disgusting, and despicable. But let me tell y'all something. When you don't have to push, when you can just sit there, that's the proper way to go to the restroom. When you're pushing and stuff, you can get yourself a hernia or something like that. So you shouldn't push.
Or hemorrhoids.
Hemorrhoids. That's
out your ass.
So you know, but when you sit there and then you and it just you know it just kind of moseys on out. Just
mosey.
Yeah, then you just you sit there and you relax a little bit, and then you know, and you have to wipe really good, and then you have to use the wet wipes too.
Yeah, the baby wipes. Yeah, absolutely.
That ensures.
Hey, do you use baby wipes, John?
Yes, sir.
Hey, they're all
right.
Four of us. We all call ourselves
and
baby
Robert,
wipes in the morning.
Did you hear me? I wash my hands. Robert,
yeah.
Baby wipes. I'm the only one.
We need to call ourselves. I use baby wipes.
Do you use baby wipes?
Okay. Yeah.
I want to buy
I want my ass clean. I want it clean. You know, if you eat the right foods, it'll come out easy.
They come out, and that's what it did. It just come out real easy. Just nothing but smooth sailing tonight.
You hardly see, like, if you ever catch the glimpse of an animal taking a shit, you don't see them straining.
Yeah.
You know, unless they've been fed the wrong thing.
And Dre said that Mike Brown sees the pay.
Man, TJ, he made those Dallas Mavericks all look like all pros. Eddie Curry, man, come on, man.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking about going to the bathroom, I came up with a product called SDS.
What's that?
Shit don't stink. You know, if you take a pill, every day, you could, like, your poop will smell like blossoms. Or it could smell like... It can smell like cigar smoke. You know, it's a whole. I got a whole line of different fragrances, so that when you take a poop,
Rich sister said, everything really doesn't need to be shared.
All right, already, guys. You guys got the
TMI. Too much information.
I don't know. Why can't you talk about bomb dropping? What's wrong with it? Everybody bomb drops.
It's just
and if
you
don't
know that we
and
need
if,
to find the gap
you know
man. You dropped a bomb on me.
Yeah.
And you know, doom 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 doom. While you talking about dropping bombs, you just let that loop. Doom 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 doom. Doom 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 doom. You dropped a bomb on me. Kaput.
That's for our segment of talking crap in the morning. Hold on 1 second. This is Nikki calling me. Hey, Nikki.
Hey.
Yeah.
I've been listening to this interview with you and Rob, and makes me want to stop singing.
Oh, no.
I'm just a little shocked about the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, because he goes on and on and on and on, you know.
Okay, great.
Yeah, that is kind of great. Maybe I ought to listen a little longer to something else. Maybe.
Okay.
Yeah, all right. Good. Yeah, okay. All right. So, hey, give me a call after the show, too,
okay.
Nigga.
Okay, you know I'm doing a radio show right now.
What the fuck? I care what you doing. I'm calling whatever I feel like it.
Yeah, it's hotline.
Oh my God! What a life.
Baby wipes in the morning.
Carl, what, I'm supposed to wake you up in the morning? Yeah, I put a newspaper over there for you to get. You know what? You got a bad attitude, and I heard you calling me a nigga while you were sleeping. What?
Nigga.
Yeah, it's 9 o'clock. It's 9:30, Carl. You're out all night hoeing around.
Carl LaFero's hoe shop.
Slinging your little sausage all over the place. Little sausage sling. He the sausage boy. 650-326, who's calling?
Hey, what's going on?
What's happening?
I don't know it, Jay. Just up early, bruh. So I decided to check you out in the morning. Y'all keeping me cracking up, man. I'm like waking up. I can't believe it. Oh, yeah, babe. What are you wearing?
Oh, Robert, can't beat your ass asking questions like that.
I'm not that kind of guy.
Can you see how you got quiet?
You might have I'm not that kind of guy, dude. You know it. I'm enjoying your show, man. I didn't know y'all was this ridiculous in the morning, man.
We didn't even know we were ridiculous.
I might have to start getting up just to listen to y'all for 2 hours and go back to sleep.
that would be a good thing if you want to laugh, you know.
Y'all funny, man. I'm serious. Y'all got me laughing over here, man. I just got up. I'm cracking up.
Oh, okay. Well, you must have heard when we was doing
the shit talking section of your show. All at my expense. Oh yeah, babe.
you didn't see we talked about Robert and Val. Stop being filthy and disgusting in that chat room. We're gonna come right back to you in just a minute, though. Stop being nasty and disgusting in the chat room before you don't get
my God,
market.
Val saying DJ. Oh yeah, babe.
What did she say that was so filthy and disgusting?
Oh,
you
can't trick that
you
lie. You're nasty.
She said, "How you know how his penis look?" Talking about Carl. I don't know what it looked like. I just know. I look at Carl and I know that it. You know that he's
like born in wood.
No, he don't have. Don't
usually, when
that.
A man stays out late, he's slanging.
That's right. Exactly. Thank you.
You ain't got to know what it looks like.
Hey,
you go, sweetie. I got enough to feed the need.
The first time I realized, when I looked in your eyes, you and I were made to love. Sanctioned from the Lord above. You should know just how I feel, baby. Look inside, cause my love is real. Open up, receive.
Foxwood, I Want Your Love. You guys won't be able to get that into 2013. But you get a chance.
That's the best rendition of someone that covered your pen.
Yeah, I love it. It's gonna. I love the fact that I'm gonna have two different versions of that song. Cha-ching. 281-543. Who's calling?
Lysky.
Darksky.
What's happening, baby? What's going on, Johnny Graham Cracker? How you doing, my brother?
Hey, doing fine. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. The Cussing Preacher, what's up, Lynn?
Hey, now.
Hold on, man. Put some bass in your voice, brother. You scared me a little bit with that response.
Oh,
hey,
you ain't got to worry about that.
Okay, I know. You're a real brother, but I got you. And Robert Redwine, the man of the hour, Robert Redwine, this is your life. Hello, Robert.
The Lord is my light, my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid?
I'm going to tell you one thing. The doc is scared of you because you really was approaching her on the word game.
Yeah, Robert, man, that was pretty
that
good.
That was Ireland DS?
It was interesting, brother, but, man, I tell you, man, I was sitting down, man, in the lobby, man, waiting to meet some people, man. I almost, passed out, brother, listening to all this stuff, man. I mean, but it's intriguing.
I should have said Houston. We have a problem here.
Yeah, we were having a problem, man. I was sloppy and everything. But that's all right, brother. We learned some great things about you today, man.
Thank you, my guy.
Not a problem. Oh, boy.
Dark Skin, what's happening today, man?
Ain't nothing happening, brother. You called the Lakers, man. What's wrong with you, man?
I'm trying to see, I believe in progress.
Yeah.
I really do believe in progress. And the problem is, if you stay digressing too long,
yeah.
Then digression looks like progress to you. I just don't want the Lakers to look like we are digressing, you know. So I'm calling the organization, as a concerned citizen. You know, I'm voicing my opinion, and I'm asking all citizens, all Laker lovers, to call in 310-426-6000, and let's get rid of Mike Brown now before it's too late.
What is wrong?
We only have so many Kobe years left, okay? Let's be real. We only have
That's
so many Kobe. Let's make the best of them.
Well, King J, DS is dealing with, James Harden coming to the Rockets and all that kind of stuff.
I'm a Bulls fan, man. I don't give a damn about the Rockets. I hate the Rockets, the Texans, anything to do with Houston. I hate that. I'm a damn Bulls fan. So, and I'm also a big MJ fan, so keep Mike Brown. Keep my
grip,
because I do not want Kobe to get six championships.
Hey, who are you? What team are you rooting for?
The Bulls, he said, Lion.
The Bulls.
Chicago Bulls?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Well, Nate Robinson's over there now, my little homie.
From
my God,
Lakers?
He always got to throw something out. Robert, keep my little
Nate
homie. First, let me say this, guys. Let me say this to everybody listening. If you want a winning year, if you want to be connected with a winning franchise, you guys ain't going to do like Laker Girl did and wait till the last minute and jump on my bandwagon when I said get rid of Bynum. And finally she jumped on the bandwagon and she agreed and got rid of him and she knew it was the best thing to do. Y'all need to jump on my bandwagon, not now, but right now. Almost as important as voting for the president.
Don't do it. Well, do that, but don't do that other part. Don't do it.
We got to get rid of Mike Brown.
No.
Pronto.
Man, they was playing team defense like a matador team. They was just letting Dallas come go in the lane.
I'm going to tell you why. Because they played this Princeton defense. The Princeton of, excuse me, would you like to go to the middle, sir? No, I will offer no resistance.
Hey, man, it's part of the bigger
Would you like a layup? Oh, of course I'll let you have this layup. Of course you can have this layup.
It's a bigger plan. Y'all not seeing the bigger plan.
I see the bigger plan.
Yeah. Big plan.
Laker girl said, I literally jumped on your bandwagon. I know you did. But
I know
you better
she's crazy.
Have.
She busy today, huh? I bet you she done passed. Boy, I bet you she done could. I bet you
now,
she Laker
girl
on the damn ledge all morning contemplating she jumping.
No,
now,
you know what? I texted her last night and let her know that what's happening is ridiculous. And then she said she going to pray to Jesus.
What's Jesus going to do about the Lakers?
I'm going to tell you what Jesus did. She prayed to Jesus. She prayed to the little baby Jesus, too. Not the big Jesus, the little baby Jesus.
Ricky Bobby.
little baby Jesus said, I ain't got nothing to do. Little baby Jesus said, I'm just a baby.
I'm just a baby. I'm just a little bitty baby Jesus. But I'm going to tell you right now, y'all better get rid of that nigga. Get rid of him now. He's taking y'all down the wrong road. And yeah, I said nigga, because I'm the little baby Jesus with the nappy hair.
Little baby Jesus had nappy hair. Okay, you guys, I got Lynn, we had some news that we got to do because I saved up all this damn news and now I can't use it. Now, first of all, Phyllis said something very important the other day. I think a lot of people slept on it. She said that Mitt Romney's wife looks like Chucky's wife. And you know what? I didn't even catch it. And I normally catch these things. But that's the truth. Gab told the truth. Mitt Romney's wife looks like Chucky's wife.
He gives her tips to say good
things
about
him. Chucky. Which means Mitt Romney is nothing more than a Chucky makeover. She looks like the bride of Chucky. So Mitt Romney is Chucky. And she's the bride of Chucky.
He's so robotic.
That's interesting. I bet you he is pissed off behind the storm because that Joker now has nothing to do but sit around and try to pretend he's the president.
Oh. Let me do this right here, you guys, and then we'll come up.
Jay King's News Reel.
David Letterman embarrasses Donald Trump on the air. The billionaire hypocrisy on cheap Chinese labor. Donald Trump is a guy who seems to be proud of running his mouth. There was a time when Trump spoke and the world would listen. But now, Trump's credibility with the public has taken a tremendous nosedive. Most recently, due to his flat announcement about the massive dirt he claimed to have on President Obama, Trump's popularity has never been lower. And even David Letterman sought to embarrass him during a recent appearance on his show. During the episode, Trump brags about how great his ties are. At the same time, the mogul boasts about the greatness of the Romney presidency. One of the reasons Trump gives for supporting Romney is because of his tough stance on China. That's when Letterman asks Trump where his ties are made. This flustered Trump, a man who typically doesn't run out of words, couldn't find any. Trump then mumbles that, I don't know, they were made somewhere. Then he goes on to change the subject and talk about how great his ties are. And that's when Letterman nails him by pointing out that his ties are
made in China.
In China. So let me see if I can play this real quick, you guys.
I love David Letterman. He really hammers them Republicans.
Governor Romney. Are you in contact with him all the time?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What do you guys talk about?
Just general. I tell you what, he has a stance on China, which is a country that's just ripping our heart out. I mean, we just do nothing to protect ourselves. That I really like.
That is a line of clothing. Now, where were these made?
These were made, I don't know where they were made, but they were made someplace. But they're great. It's ties, shirts, cufflinks, everything sold at Macy's, and they're doing great. Number one selling tie anywhere in the world.
The ties are made in where? China?
Ties are made in China.
Gotcha.
Should have asked him where his damn toupee was made. That was probably made in China, too.
You should have seen the
German ties on.
should have seen the look on his face, and you should have seen how red he turned.
He does turn red.
He turned so red that he looked like
fire with his hair yellow and his face red.
And they call us colored.
RPM said, I bet David Letterman has more than ties made from China. He may have, but you know what? What David Letterman isn't doing is what Donald Trump is doing.
Right.
David Letterman isn't out saying that, you know, we shouldn't be, that we should be tougher on China. We should do this and we should do that, and what his policies are and who he supports. That's not what he's saying. But when you come on the world stage and you talk about, you know, Mitt Romney and how he's going to be tough on China, this is a man who's so vested in China right now, and there's a new company that he just bought that's so vested in China. How can you be tough on somebody? I'm going to tell you how he's going to be tough on China. He's going to go to China, and he's going to call,
hey, man, check this out. Hey, dark skin. I'm going to be real hard on you in front of everybody, all right? But really, man. What I'm going to do is I'm going to be tough on you, and whatever I get from them, I'm going to split with you on the backside, okay?
Thank you. TJ, he's trying to save his tax bracket, man. That's why I like Romney.
Yeah, no. Well, I don't care. You know what? But he's making so much money. If they really want to save the country, people like him that are making that kind of money, they already beaten the system. So you know... if you want to save the country, save the country, because this country can't last the way it's going right now. And I don't think people really understand that. I don't think you guys really know how dire our situation is right now. But we are in a dire situation. Dire.
So it's Mitt Romney.
Not because of Mitt Romney, just because
so is Mitt Romney.
Oh yeah, so is Mitt Romney. So we really need to again, RPM says they are all invested in China. I don't care about them all. David Letterman ain't saying he's not invested in China, but what he's not saying is, you know, I'm going to be tough on China at the same time I'm doing business with China. So because I do business with China. My dominoes was made in China, and my domino league. My tables were made in China, because it's cheaper for me to make them in China than it is here in the United States.
Oh, you
I
had a
eat
domino
in
league?
China.
Yeah, I had
eat
a domino league.
China. My wife serves food on China.
Yeah. Hey, DF, do you play dominoes, man?
Do I play dominoes? Man, don't ask me no crazy question like that, man. Damn, I got a domino necklace on right now.
Let me tell you something. Lightskin is the most competitive person in the world. You do not want to play him in dominoes. He's going to slap them bones,
Robert, hold on. Don't you talk to dark skin like that. I put him on mute, dark skin. That's blasphemous. I had to put you on mute. You don't do that to dark skin. What's wrong with you?
We're on the same team. I mean, you know, both of us together would just be terrible. But I need to fly out there. Okay, you got a club, a dominoes club.
I had a domino league. As a matter of fact, dark skin, I did a tournament in Houston, and it was one of the lowest turnouts. We gave away $30,000, $10,000 first prize. I was all over the newspaper there. You guys had a big spread in it. All the porch monkeys all say now, if I do it again. And I'll be there. I never had a complete field of 128 players. Never.
What was this?
Most of that I got that in 2005, 2006, 2007.
What?
Oh, yep. Damn. I lost about three big ones.
Oh wow.
Lost a lot of money.
Damn.
And now every porch monkey in town calling me, do it again, Jay. Now you little porch monkeys, y'all didn't come out the first time. We're going to end up doing it again. But it's called the Professional Domino League. You can go to PDA Dominoes and play dominoes online with us right now.
Oh, if I did that, a couple of years ago, whoop somebody's ass. Who was that was talking crazy on that other show, and I took him on that damn website, tore his ass out? Who was that?
I don't know.
What was that guy's name? I know who it was. It was Smelly Starfish. Remember that guy?
Okay, tonight, you guys, don't forget to tune in to the J. Rao Show, 5:30 to 7 p.m. right here on the J. King Network, 5:30 to 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, the Jay Rouse Show. You guys have to tune in. It's hilarious. Of course, the infamous Dr. Princess Odelia, Queen of the Parasites, Muhammad Ali, Run DMC, is also on that show, along with Momo B and my main man, Mr. L.E.S.
Yeah, he
liked
that, dude. They got it. He likes you, man.
And yeah, that's my guy right there. And yeah. And of course, the head honcho, the chief MF in charge, Doc Ski.
Boom! Trick or treat, smell my feet.
So you guys tune in on Trick or Treat to Dark Skin. And tonight, you know, Wednesday nights, we're playing all independent music. If you are an independent artist or you know an independent artist who you want to get his music or her music on, send it to me today, jking62@gmail.com, jking62@gmail.com. And, you know, we play a lot of new music and music that you guys have heard before. And tonight we're going to discuss royalties, the different types of royalties, and payments, and, you know, as an independent label, how and when you make those payments. So that'll be going on in between the music. It's going to be a great show. Don't miss it.
Double J Wednesdays.
And today is Trick or Treat. Now, Lynn, let me ask you a question. Should I do that show, or should I not do a show tonight, run a rerun? Because I bet you my doorbell going to be ringing all day, all night during the show, and I'm going to be at the
half of the people that can't go to Halloween on the East Coast are going to come over to the West Coast and go to Halloween on your house, so you should rerun.
should I rerun the show?
Yeah.
I would.
Okay.
What kind of candy are you going to be giving out?
Let me tell you what I got. I'm gonna tell you. You know what? I'm not a cheapy McGee. You come to my house. Let me see what kind of. You gonna get Reese's, Almond Joys, Whoppers,
Twizzlers,
Heath,
Hershey Kisses,
Snickers.
Highfalutin.
Yeah. You go to Robert's house.
I'm giving out graham crackers.
You go to Robert's house. You gonna get sand. You gonna get rock.
Oh yeah, babe.
I got a box full of graham crackers over here. I'm passing them out.
You do, baby.
Graham crackers.
Oh, man. Your house will get
pissed me
tonight.
Off. I'm breaking it in two.
Your house going to get head tonight. Get somebody some damn graham crackers if you want to. Graham crackers.
Oreo cookies. Cool.
Like a damn popcorn ball. You stick that up your ass. You better not give me no damn popcorn ball for no Halloween.
Hey, now you know what? Now, if you want to go, Darts can, if you want to go 5:30 to 7:30 tonight, you can. Oh, no, you can't, because we'll run a rerun.
Yeah.
How goofy is that? Yeah, I'm running a rerun.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Lance Ken.
Yeah. I'm going to run a rerun, Lynn. So, Lynn, you going to put it in there?
Who, me?
Yeah.
Who's been Who's been putting them in there?
Lynn said, "Who me? Nigga, I always do." You know what? Hey, that was somebody saying nigga without saying nigga. You know, he said, that was like, "Who me? I always do." See that right there? See, who me? And that pause right there? That's this right here. Who me, nigga? I always do.
You think go do it?
We got to pray, King J.
We do have to pray. We got to pray just to make it today. I'm going to call Carl today and just, I'm going to call Carl's phone today at work and just call him. I'm just going to call him a nigger like 10 times. Carl Lucero's a nigger.
In times like these, where people are working together for the common good, those who choose to cross swords on other times hold each other's hands during a crisis. Lord, why does it take tragedy to fusion us? What if we work together at all times, we would be better prepared for natural disasters. If we work together, there would be more smiles and happy hearts. There would be a bountiful harvest and less hunger. God, you have opened our eyes during this most major Frankenstorm. Keep our eyes open. Show us the way to think the right thing and do the right thing. Calm our souls and peace our problems. Make us whole and worthy. Amen. again.
Amen.
Amen.
Hey, you guys, don't forget to tune in. Who's calling me on my damn home, on my cell phone? Hello?
Jay, it's me.
I'm doing my show, man.
Yeah, well, look, man, you got to get all huffy.
Well, Ken is calling me in the middle of the damn show.
You got to get all
huffy. And
you know
I'm on the show.
Baby. Come on, baby. You know me.
What you talking about tonight, Dark Ken?
Okay, man, how old is too old to damn trick or treat? That's what we're talking about tonight.
I'm going to tune in. I'm going to call
it. I feel trick or treat.
If you trick or treat, graham cracker, I'm going to tell you right now, you come to my door with a bag, you the one kid that ain't getting nothing.
I'm last in line. I put my little kids first. It seems to work.
You don't get nothing. I'm putting that damn bag. Now, I'm going to tell you how you win. I'm going to tell you how you trick or treat, how you never get too old to trick or treat. This is what you do.
What?
Trick or treat. Aren't you too old to trick or treat? Yeah. But I'm out here for one of my cousins, see. 10 years old and
boy, it's crazy, man.
He can't,
you should say,
can't make
lie.
It out. Can't make it out, and I am just doing what a good Samaritan. You know, I understand if you don't want to give me the candy. I get it.
Why don't you just buy a box of Zag Nuts and call it a night?
That's a 1950s line.
Because then you go, now Lynn trying to get my house firebombed and burnt up and all kind of stuff. You know, people say, yeah, that's the guy who gave us that damn rock candy. Oh, man, I don't know what a bag nut is or anything. All right, you guys. Hey, today is Halloween. Be careful out there, you guys. Get busy living because you're going to have enough time dying. My name is Jay King with Lynn Tolliver, Robert Redwine, Johnny Graham Cracker Davis, and, of course, Doc Steve.
Boo, boo, boo.
Hey, y'all, get out there. Go get it. Whatever it is yours. Have fun.
Kings in the morning. Your favorite Block Talk radio show. Kings in the morning. Kings in the morning. Kings in the morning.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.